it's mindset. So it's just about figuring, like, once I'm a broken record, but it's figuring out why it matters. So if somebody is being told these short-term shortcuts, these gimmicks, they're going to try it, it's not going to work as quickly as they say they do, and they're going to think they fail, so they just give up. But if it's a mindset of, this is a journey, this is a lifestyle, this isn't like a six-week cleanse or a 42-day workout program to get shredded, this is a lifestyle, this is something that you're going to be doing for the rest of your life, then that's just a whole different mindset shift.
Brad Guthrow is an amazing dude, man. He's an amazing guy. I'm really glad I have him here today. This is an individual who decided to leave his traditional job and just pursue his entrepreneurial goals. It just left A and went to B because B was more interesting than A. And fitness was his platform. He used it to change his life, to create his own digital media company, which is Live Lean TV. And he did this from the ground up, so he's not only a fitness expert, but he's a very serious entrepreneur, because we all know, and certainly I know, and he knows what it takes to build a business from the ground up. You do it alone, a lot of resources, but you do it alone, and it ain't easy to do. A lot of respect and props out to this guy. He's got videos that have been seen over 7.5 million times, highlights workouts, cooking ideas, he does motivational talks, fitness and nutritional advice, of course, because that's what he's all about. You know, the fundamental concept behind the show is that results will come with consistency. I couldn't agree with that more, because they say that 50% of it is showing up. 50% of it isn't working out. It's probably 25% showing up, 30% doing the work, and the balance being consistent. So it's something like that. And he also points out again, which I also agree with and really resonates with me, is there are no quick ways to reach your goal. It's just a continuous commitment to fitness. And so I want to welcome a really interesting guy, a high-energy dude, Brad Guthrow. Man, what a great guy. Hey, welcome to the show, and I'm really glad to have you here.
Hey, Craig, thanks for having me. I can't wait to jump right into it.
Oh, man, you're an energetic dude, man. I was watching some of you are funny. I you know, part of what I do is I put a development team together to do this deep research on my people, and, of course, I do a lot myself. And I was watching your videos, man, and they are hilarious. They're well-produced. They're very good. You've got your wife in there. You've got other people in there. But they're super well-produced, and they're super informative. First off, who came up with the idea to do the videos the way you do them?
Well, this was for a long time like a one-man show where it was just me, just to get back to your story about me in the early – like, I started in the corporate world, corporate marketing. So I knew the creative side of it. But I just kind of came to a point in my life where I just had enough. I was advertising beer companies. I was advertising lottery companies. And I was just thinking at the end of the day, I wasn't feeling fulfilled. And I just didn't feel like I was giving value out to the world. And that's why fitness kind of took over with my life. And I was like, people kept asking me, how do you do it? Like, how do you maintain your physique all year round? And then a light bulb went off. It's like, I need to get this message out there. And what better way to get your message out there when it comes to fitness than in video? So just one day I decided to turn the camera on. It was the most awkward video that I've ever done. And, but it just goes to show you that everybody starts somewhere, and, you just keep growing with consistency and keep getting better.
Oh man, my first podcast is still a gross embarrassment. And I was dealing with a world-class athlete who fortunately was very forgiving and is very forgiving. And it took edit upon edit upon edit to get it right. And honest to God, it's still so bad I have to pull it, and I just haven't done it yet. And I'm not going to tell you what it is so you don't go and listen to it.
Yeah, honestly, I would say don't pull it. I think it's a great thing, and I think it actually inspires other people that you can show them, like, listen, we all started somewhere. So like personally for me, I don't have a very good before and after transformation from a physique standpoint. In the beginning, I was just so embarrassed and uncomfortable being seen with my shirt off that I would never even take photos just myself. So when I'm trying to motivate and inspire other people who are starting from ground zero, I do it from a business perspective. I'm saying, go look at my first video. Now look at today's video, and you can see the growth there. So I try to inspire people with my own transformation from a business perspective, from a self-esteem perspective, from a confidence perspective, versus a physique perspective. So I would just give you the, I would say use that as motivation to show other people like where you started.
Maybe, but let's touch on what you just said, because that's really interesting. You did suffer from low self-esteem in your childhood, and you felt uncomfortable in your own skin, and you said you sort of struggled with what you called the flabby belly, skinny arm syndrome. Tell me about that, and I know how you overcame it, but tell us a little bit of your story about what you actively did to overcome it.
Yeah, like I was just one of the, you know, I think every kid kind of goes through that awkward stage. And growing up, I was always an athlete. Like I played sports. I played pretty much every sport that you could come up with. I played, and I actually excelled at a lot of it. But I think the thing that came with that was people knew me as being the athlete, yet I felt like when I took my shirt off, I wasn't really living or I wasn't really showing that side of it. So I really felt very uncomfortable with myself. And there was times where, you know, in school, there was a school trip to the swimming pool. I actually played hooky to skip out of it because I didn't want my friends and other people in the class to see me with my shirt on, because I feel like I was letting them down. Like I'm here, this person, this athlete, yet when you look at me, you wouldn't see that. So I kind of struggled with that as a kid, and it just got to the point where I just had enough. And it was just like there was this line that I was just like, I can't continue living my life this way. I have to take control. I am in control, so I have to do something about it. And that's when fitness kind of was that light bulb for me to say, listen, get into the gym, figure it out, and make it work.
What was your motivation? Was it just pure, I don't like the way I look and I feel like crap and that's my clean and pure? Was there an additional motivation? Was there someone that helped inspire you? Was it simply just, hey, I don't like the way I feel, I don't like the way I look, I'm going to go do something about it?
The one that stands out to me was actually in business. Was I got overlooked for promotion. So I started my career in advertising, and I was in the client management sides, and I lacked the confidence in front of the clients. And I think my boss saw that, and he overlooked me for a promotion and gave it to somebody who was a junior to me. And at that point right there was like, I need to do something about this. And I was just thinking about how can I improve my confidence? And one of it was, you know, take the steps in the gym and transform your body. And ever since I transformed my body, I just felt more confident on the outside of it. And that was really the defining point for me.
Some people tend to fold in those moments rather than climb the next mountain. They sort of stay in the trough. What advice do you have for people that tend to go that way and sort of lose momentum and lose control to help them lift themselves up and move to the next level?
Yeah, I just always tell people to find your why. So I really go back to that is, what do you want out of life, and why do you want to have it? How are you going to get it? So for me was like, I keep going back to it. It was that confidence thing. And I just wasn't going to let that run my life. So my why was I needed to transform my body to get more confident in other areas of my life, and talking to girls and going to the gym and business and other areas. So it's just getting deep and getting that emotional connection with that why of what's going to drive you forward. So you just really have to dig deep, get emotional with it, and then take action on it.
I hear you on all of that, especially the just talking to the girls. And I don't care if you're a skinny guy with skinny arms or a big, you know, strong guy or everything in between. We're all fearful of women. None of us. Our nature is to elegantly approach them, and no matter how elegantly we do it, it's inelegant. But one of the other things I found out about you too is that while you were working for this advertising agency, you were moonlighting or sidelining as a fitness model. So somewhere along the way, you had not yet left corporate America, were working out, getting fit, changing your attitude, getting your confidence, and doing a little bit of fitness modeling, but found out it wouldn't pay the bills either. What's the story there?
In the beginning, I looked up to some people online, like Greg Plitt was one of the guys who I really looked up to online, and I saw what he was doing, and I was like, I want to live that lifestyle. And, you know, what he was portraying at the time was, you know, the luxurious lifestyle, driving the Range Rover, having a big fancy house. And I assumed that all that was coming from fitness modeling. And so I was like, that's cool. I'm going to get into that. But I was smart. I was smart with money, knowing that, you know, I was living within my means and I wasn't just going to quit cold turkey. But what I ended up doing was I just kept that side hustle going, took some marks or some photo shoot gigs, got some good photos, started to build a little bit of a following. And once I did that, once I had enough money in the bank from the corporate job, I ended up just saying one day, you know what? I need to pursue this. I really feel like I have more to give to the world. I want to make a bigger impact on the world. And I just gave them a 30-day notice. I like to call it, I fired my boss. And then I started from ground zero. And I tell you, that was the scariest thing in my life. Like, I came from, my family both were teachers. So I was brought up to go to college, get a degree, get a corporate job, get a pension, and work until you're 55, 65, retire, and you're good. So this was a complete 180 from that. I had no experience going out on my own, but I just felt deep down inside I had more to give, and I was willing to take that risk.
Was there any book, resource, or, you know, colleague, speaker, somebody, sort of like what I asked you a second ago, that helped shape your journey as a business owner and a move into the fitness direction? Or did you just say, hell, let me just throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks?
No, I'm a big time reader. So I was on a mission there for a while. I think it was around 2007 where I was just looking for what my passion was. Like, I really dug deep into myself. I really went inside. I read a lot of books like Think and Grow Rich was a big impact on my life. Robin Sharma's books had a big impact. Jack Canfield's, like, you know, all the real self-development books just to figure out who I was and what I wanted in my life. So I really dug deep, read a lot of that stuff. And when I started to apply it, it's really incredible to see what has happened in my life since I started putting some of these teachings to work. And, you know, I could go on and on about these amazing things that happen just coming out of nowhere. So if there's anybody out there that just feels like, you know, the world is not conspiring for them, you know, keep putting out the positive thoughts and you'll be amazed at what happens. And of course, keep working hard.
Well, let's put if you don't mind, let me put just a little bit of lift under that, because I love what you just said. And everyone is asking, I can just hear it right now. The email's coming to me, you know, what would be one of those things that came to him that was unexpected? Give me one really great thing that came to you as a result of all of this good work.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I actually did quit my corporate job and I did start this fitness online media company, you know, my first year I made $11,000. So I left a career that was paying good money. I had a pension, and here I was, you know, a marketing degree, corporate background, and I made $11,000. And I almost quit because I couldn't pay my bills. And, you know, this is a whole other story, but at the time I went through a divorce. So my wife left me. I had no support system whatsoever. And I just said, keep going. And then I got this random email out of nowhere from a company that saw one of my videos. And this is when I didn't have a big following at all. And they said, we love what you're doing. We'd love you to help us out with some marketing videos for our company. I took that, and that just helped me pay the bills. And then that just helped me keep moving forward and forward and forward. So at the time, it was like, you know, when you think you want to quit, you just keep pushing through that little stage, and then things just seem to happen. So that was one of the examples of that.
That's a great story. And it makes me think of, I have a lot of friends in the music business, and it makes me think about what it takes to get to get a record deal. It's probably not that much different today too, but you have to knock down your 200-300 no's before you get your yes. And if you're not willing to do the work and pave your own road and just work and knock the dominoes down one at a time, and sometimes slowly and painfully, you don't get the big payoff.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so many times where I had so many doors, you know, shut in my face. You know, I felt like I had everything going for me. You know, I was a hard worker. I thought I put together good content, but in the beginning, things just didn't work. I think I thought that they were going to go faster than they did. And I think,
oh man, I
thought 90% of people probably would have said, this isn't working and I'm done with it. I'm just going to go back to the corporate world, where I was like, you know, when one door shuts, another one's going to open. You just got to keep pushing, keep hustling, keep working towards it. And amazing things have happened since then.
What would you say then was the one single biggest hurdle you were facing at the time that you were starting your business? Was it keeping the energy up and maintaining the consistency like you say you have to do in the gym? What was it for you?
Well, it was actually, I was going through a divorce at the time. So not only was my personal life in shambles, also since I took on this new lifestyle of mine with fitness, a lot of my friends turned their back on me. I shouldn't say they turned their back on me, but I was just going on a different journey than they were. So the phone calls to go out, to hang out, were kind of stopping. So not only did I lose my loved one, being my wife, I also lost a lot of my friends, my support network, and I really felt alone at the time. So, but in a sense, that was a positive thing because that allowed me to just bury my head and to get it done. Like there was no going back at this point, where it was like there's no support there that's going to help me, you know, pay my bills until I get myself on my feet. Like there was no going anywhere else. It was all on me. And I feel like that lesson in my life where I am in control has, you know, brought me to where I am today, because I'm not relying on anybody. It's all on me.
Another really good point. Head down, there are no alternatives. And the old saying, you know, burn the bridges behind you so there's no retreat, I think was attributed to Napoleon Hill. But it's actually Sun Tzu that, and maybe he got it from someone else, but it as far back as I can go, that thinking goes all the way back to Sun Tzu with, burn all the boats, burn all the bridges. We're going to war, we're going to fight. And yeah. If you don't die in a battlefield, you're sure as hell not going home.
Yeah, no, I've read that quote. I've read that part in the book as well. And I use that analogy or that story all the time, that when you are in, like you have to be in. There's going to be tough times, but if you're truly committed to it, you got to just get through it. Burn the boats. There's no going back. I love that.
Your programs are interesting. There are a lot of people out there online just offer fitness.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's good. And we need that and we want that. But you're broader and you're offering a wider spectrum of stuff out there. So, you know, nutrition, lifestyle, motivation, fitness, and so on. What made you want to be so broad as opposed to be just another guy, another person offering up world-class fitness like you do?
That's a good question. And I actually kind of debate on if I did take the proper approach with that, because in marketing 101, it's find a niche and get really narrow and get really deep with the people. But I wanted to go with the approach of giving a holistic, like a broad level of sharing my lifestyle, because I think that's what it's not just a fitness to me. It's not just nutrition to me. It's not just motivation. It's everything. So I wanted to kind of encapsulate everything that allowed me to get to where I am today and share that with the audience. So when I did start, I think I focused quite a bit on nutrition, and, you know, then people were asking me about workouts. So I kind of went a little bit into the workout scheme, and then I was finding you can tell people what to eat. You can give them the workouts to do, but if they lack that internal motivation, they're not going to do anything with it. So then I could dug a little bit deeper into motivation, and, you know, we started vlogging as well, showing just our lifestyle and showing my family with my wife. And we just had a kid a couple of months or 16 months ago. So it's been quite a journey, but I do kind of go back and think, should I stay more narrow or should we go with this broader approach? But what we did decide was to stick with that broader approach to show people a higher level of everything.
Interesting thing about your approach is, here's the reality. I get the niche idea, find one thing and focus on it and make that work. But it so happens that any one of the basically four plus or minus things that you're doing right now are all natural verticals. They're all natural fits. So the person who needs nutrition needs workouts. The person who needs workouts needs nutrition. And we all need motivation. So I think in your case, it all adds up and it all makes sense. And now every single one of your clients can use at least two of the things that you're offering. So I think it's a good thing. And one of the things I wanted to ask you is, you have subscribers from all over the world. And I'm wondering, I imagine I know the answer, but I'm wondering, you know, different cultures, different thinking, different philosophies everywhere, all over this world. People are basically the same in many, many ways, but culturally there are a lot of differences. What are some of the things that they all have in common with you in your work, and what are some of the things that are disparate?
Yeah, well, I think what everybody seems to really like about what we're doing as a company is that we're real. So we're not just showing the perfect life that we're living. Like we show the behind the scenes of things that aren't going so well. I think one of the issues with social media today is that everyone is just showing the highlights of their life. And when somebody from the outside is looking at that, they're thinking, oh, my life isn't as great as this person. So we're trying to get a little bit better at, showing that, there are times when we're not motivated to do things. There are times when I eat the wrong types of foods and everything. But I think at the end of the day, everybody, regardless of the culture, really likes to see the realness of people. But to get to the question about what's going on differently in different areas, of course there's accessibility is the certain access to equipment. Different cultures eat different food. Like some cultures are more towards meat eating, others ones are towards more vegan lifestyle. So it is a challenge from a nutrition standpoint to try to give people the best of everything. And there's, as you probably know, there's no best diet for anybody. But what we try to do is just share the stuff that has worked for us and that has worked for our clients.
So what's your Einstein string theory here? In other words, what is the one thing that unites all of those different cultures together in terms of how you work with them?
Yeah, we just all want to be our best. You know, we all want to wake up in the morning. We all want to be full of energy. We want to feel good. We want to look good. We want to perform well. I think at the end of the day, it's just people want to live an optimal life. And, that's what we're trying to, that's the information we're trying to give people. But we're also trying to not show the perfection. We're trying to teach people about progress. It's not being 100% perfect all the time. It's just about getting better every single day.
Yeah. And as cliche as it sounds, it's important to balance all of that with some downtime. I heard someone say, and I never heard it said this way before, but that walking and maybe taking a hike or getting out into the backcountry or woods or is like medicine for your soul, for your body. So you've got to be healthy. You've got to work out. Life is fast these days, and it sucks up a lot of time. But you've got to really have a really good balance in life, and not just uptime. Downtime, but doing other things to diversify, to get a complete break from everything to truly recharge. Do you have a viewpoint on that?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with everything you're saying. Like workout, the term workout means different things to different people. Like I prefer to go to the gym to work out and use weights to work out. But, just like you said, going for a hike is a workout to some people. Going for a walk with their dog is a workout for some people. It's just about moving your body. So if you're starting at point A, if you're starting at point A where you're just sitting on the couch and that's pretty much it, going for a walk is a workout. It's going to elevate your heart rate. It's going to get the blood flowing through your body. So it really just depends on where you're starting at from that point A.
Yeah, I love what you just said, because one of my taglines is for people who move. In other words, I used to my initial idea with my background was to market primarily to elite and world-class athletes, because that's what I knew and that's what I understood and that's where I grew into and grew out of. But I'd forgotten along the way, before you get to that level, you're at the YMCA level. You're a minnow, you're a shark, then you're a junior high school swimmer, and then you're a state swimmer, and then if you're lucky and fortunate and everything works out and you work hard and adds up, you get to the highest levels. And I realized I was making a mistake, that the object here, as you just said it so well, is you just got to move. You got to move, and you got to do something that shakes you up a little bit. And so I really love that you said that, and I couldn't agree with it more. What's a day in your life look like? Walk me through a business day. Not a weekend, a business day. You probably every day is a business day for you. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're an entrepreneur. Sorry, I didn't mean to insult you.
No, but it's interesting. I was kind of chuckling at that. Yeah, because regardless if it's a Monday or a Sunday, it's very similar to me. Yeah, but I love it though. So that's what it is. I love what I do. So, yeah, I'm an early riser.
I hate you. Yeah. I hate you. I read all these things out there. Successful people do this, and this. And the one thing I consistently don't do is an early riser, and it runs in the family. I never was. So I hate you, but go ahead and tell me how you start at 4 a.m. and how productive you are, and you're good at 9. You have a 15-hour day, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, honestly, as long as you get it done throughout the day, it doesn't really matter what time you get up. But I just think some people are morning people. Some people are more creative in the evening. I just happen to be a morning guy, and I never thought I was a morning guy, like, to be honest. Like, I remember I first read about getting up at 5 a.m. from a book from Robin Sharma, and it was the 5 a.m. club, he called it. And I was like, that sounds cool. I want to do that. I don't know anybody else that does that, and I like being different, so let me try it. And I remember the first time I did it, it was terrible. Like, I felt so tired throughout the day. But just like anything, you keep putting in the reps, you keep being consistent with it, and it just becomes a habit. It becomes a behavior and a life part of your lifestyle. So my day starts at 5 a.m. I get up. I try to go very quiet, not to wake up my little baby, because I can't get done what I need to get done in the morning if I'm loud. So basically, yeah, I and this is going to sound really cliche, the stuff that I'm going to say because it's self-development 101. But I recently, probably the last 6-7 months now, I've really got deeper into meditation. So I try to fit meditation in every day. And with a kid, you just fit it in when you can fit it in. But just over the last couple of weeks, I've been doing it first thing in the morning. And I really noticed a good difference in my energy levels when I do it in the morning versus doing it at night. So just 20 minutes of a quick meditation. And then my kid gets up and I just play with her, feed her. And by about 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, I'm at the gym. I go in for an hour. I have my workout program right on my phone. So I'm in and out. Like I know exactly what I'm doing. I have a program. I just execute on it. Back home again, showered up, have my first meal right after that. So just a quick protein shake. And then I have a whole meal about an hour after that. And then I'm back into the office and, right around between 12 and 5, I'm at the office, get work done and back home again. So at my point right now with a 16, 17 month old daughter and a wife as well, like that's one of my challenges is being an entrepreneur, being an available dad and being a good husband. I'm balancing those three things right now, but my child is very, very important to me. So the entrepreneurial fire that I had before the child has kind of taken a little bit of a back seat until then, but yeah, all that. And then I really am in bed by 9 o'clock. Once my baby Kyla goes to bed, my wife and I are in bed because we are absolutely exhausted.
Yeah, speaking about a huge success, congratulations on the baby. That's just got to be it is a life-changing and joyous event for you, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. And I never really growing up thought I wanted a kid. You know, I mentioned I was divorced and we both agreed that we didn't want kids at the time. And then when I remarried, I wasn't sure if I wanted a kid. But now that I have one, it's the best thing in the world. Like I'm getting even emotional thinking about it right now. Like it's really amazing.
I've been hearing that forever. People say, look at your, you know, guys don't, most guys, I think, and people can draw their own conclusions, decide what they want here listening to this. But for what it's worth, a lot of guys have that feeling. And I've had friends tell me from the youngest age, don't let that get in the way of having a kid. Just do it. And when you have it, you will wonder why you took so long. And the feelings of not being sure will evaporate. Is that how you felt?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'll be 100% honest. I wanted a boy. It was like, I want to be that sports dad. I want to coach my boy in hockey and football and all these different things. And when I found out that I was having a girl, I was, you know, a little bit, not let down, but I was just like, okay, you know, maybe for the next one. But now that I have a little girl, a little princess, like it is the best thing in the world. I'm so glad that I have a baby daughter as opposed to a son at this point. She is just, I think there's a special bond between a father and his daughter.
You've got this incredible community, the Live Lean community. I love it. As I said earlier, I just love the videos. It's really cool. Tell us about that. How can people see it? They need to see it. It's just so good. I'm not overselling it. I'm not overhyping. It's fun. Again, well-produced, humorous, and really informative. They'll keep your attention because they're so good. So how do people get there and how do the people get a look at it?
Well, I mean, first off, thank you so much for saying
it's that good. Like, it's that good. I love it.
Yeah, that means a lot because we do put a lot of thought. We put a lot of work into this. And when I was taking you through my day, a lot of people think I spend my day in the gym just working out or just in the kitchen just cooking. But people don't realize like online entrepreneurs are spending their time in front of the camera, in front of the computer, doing all the editing. So just put that out there that, you know, I'm just like everybody else out there who has an office job. It's a lot of work, but if they want to check us out, you know, we'd love that. You can check us out on YouTube. Just basically go to Google, type in Live Lean TV and you'll see us on YouTube. You'll see our blog. Like we post a lot of the videos on the blog as well. And, you know, we're all over social media, Instagram, Facebook, everywhere. But yeah, if you want to hang out with us, YouTube would be the place.
How is the rise of social media affected your business strategy? Is it the same as it was when you started? Is there anything new? Have you had to dance around the changes that Facebook has made? And what do you have to say about social media and its evolution and how you employ it with your business strategy for those entrepreneurs out there that want to know?
It's just amazing that we have the platforms today to reach people all over the world. Like I was just mentioning this to my wife, Jessica, today that we had one of our members post a video who lives in Kuwait. And I was just like, how are we impacting people all the way over in Kuwait? Like 20 years ago, this was never possible. So I completely embrace social media. I love it. Yes, you know, Instagram, Facebook has thrown these out, and YouTube as well actually have thrown these algorithms at us. But at the end of the day, it's a free service that we can reach people. And I'm completely 100% on board with, you know, filtering. If your content's not good, the algorithm is not going to send it to the people that are following you. It's that simple. So, you know, improve your content, but you can do advertising as well. But yeah, I mean, social media is the way now. I think the stat, I don't know the exact stat, but you know, 50% of all visits on the internet or onto a social media site. So if you're a business entrepreneur and you're not on social media, regardless of what industry you're in, you know, you're leaving a lot on the table, I think. And we could be doing a better job with social media. But at this point, we're a 3-4 person team. And it's something we need to continually improve on.
Content matters. And Facebook and Instagram require a lot of interaction with the customers. How do you manage that?
Honestly, you just have to put in the work. You got to put your head down and realize people want to connect with you. And I truly feel that if somebody out in the world is taking the time to ask me a question or is following our programs or is watching our videos, that I owe it to them to answer their question. And when you get a reply on social media from us, it's coming from myself or it's coming from the other co-host, my wife, Jessica. Like, we truly put a lot of work into communicating with our audience because they're in this with us. So if they're, you know, there's a lot of fitness people out there. There's a lot of people doing the same things that we're doing. So we really do try to go deep with each and every single person who watches and who engages with us. And I think people who take that for granted are doing a disservice not only to the people who are following them, but to their business as well. I think you really have to, you know, really focus in on getting deep with your followers.
I take my clientele very seriously and try to respond to them immediately. Clearly, you know, you're way up on that curve too, and you're doing it live and in real time on social media. But you're also doing it with your wife, who is also, like you, a certified trainer. How do you two work together? Are you a husband? Hey, okay, you got it right there. Because I've been down that road. I mean, there are some areas they're just untouchable. You can't do with your partner, your wife, your mate. How do you two work together, spending so much time together? How does it work?
Yeah, we're still figuring that out. So just, you know, quick backstory on that. My wife was a subscriber to Live Lean TV. And she sent me an email. This was just another one of those serendipity stories that I have with the universe conspiring for me. She sent me an email on New Year's Eve of 2012 saying, "I love your channel, would love to collaborate sometime." And I grew up in Canada. So I'm living in the East Coast of Canada. She was living in California at the time. This random email from a stranger, and I replied to it like I say I do. And 2 months later, I was in LA. We did a collaboration video together. And ever since then, we've been together. So it's just one of those amazing stories. YouTube brought us together. And back in 2015, I moved to California. We got married. And it's been amazing. But the idea of working with your significant other is definitely a challenge. Especially when you're an entrepreneur and you're working together, you're living together. But you know, at the end of the day, it's actually quite fun to have a partner involved in this journey, is experiencing the same things as you, and is growing with you and learning with you. But you know, it definitely is a challenge to be working with your significant other.
Well, how did it change when she joined you? How did you know, you'd been doing this, you know, alone as the lead man, and now your wife comes in and now you're second in charge probably.
Yeah. So it was interesting because just kind of going back to what we were talking about, going so wide on our content, you know, talking about motivation, nutrition and fitness. When she came on board, we actually had her do her own separate channel. So, and then we kind of talked about it as like, maybe we should just collaborate on one channel and she could take care of the Live Lean TV for Women part of our show. So we kind of decided, is that good or should we, you know, keep our brand separate? And I could talk to the males, she could talk to the females. But she did come on board full time with us, and she's been crushing it ever since.
It's 7.5 million views, growing, getting bigger, and almost 285,000 subscribers. So how do you manage a community that big?
Well, I mean, it's just, once again, you just have to commit to your audience. I just really don't take things for granted. I am 100% grateful for every single view that we get, and I want to make sure that if they're watching, they're getting value from it. If they have a question, we're going to do our best to answer it and really provide value to them. It's just, at the end of the day, we're trying to over-deliver with our followers and our viewers, and just never take things for granted.
What's the strangest request? What's the strangest request you've ever received from a follower, and what's the strangest one your wife has received? I want both.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I still find it, it's the internet, so you're going to get some pretty rude and crude requests for photos and those sort of things.
People are crazy, man. The internet has really given people an opportunity to be who they really are, but never show who they really are. So a bunch of cowards hiding behind, false names and images, and they'll say, the most unbelievable things. Is that what you've experienced?
Yeah, we call them the keyboard warriors, where, when they're behind a keyboard, they can say whatever they want. But you know what? That's just part of the game. When we decided to put out content on the internet, I grew a lot thicker skin very quickly, because there was a lot of comments in the early stages of things. And as you get bigger, there's more negative comments with people calling you out on certain things, like attacking you for whatever reason. It's one of those phenomenon that I never can understand, and I think it's people who create what will never understand it, because we're putting out content, and as a creator, you would never attack somebody else because you respect the craft and you respect the art of it. But going back to the question about the weirdest requests, it's just like people asking for autographs, people on the street asking for selfies. Like, to me, that just blows my mind, because I'm such just a real dude. I'm just who I am. And just growing up in a small town on the East Coast of Canada to, now living in Southern California and being recognized, it's a really humbling and really cool thing. So I guess that's what I'd have to say.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty clean, man. I didn't expect it to be that clean. That's good stuff. Humble upbringing and virtually egoless, and just enjoying the fact that people recognize you and giving back to them and letting them have their selfie.
It's such a great feeling. I can't put it any other way than just, starting out from where I started to, where things are now, and who's to know where things are going to be in 5 years. It's a really exciting journey.
Well, you've changed your own life, so you've proven that if you can do it, other people can do it too, and you're offering also to help people do it through your own experience and expertise. And so people love you for that, because you've changed people's lives, and one of your goals is to help 1 million people live lean by 2020. So how are you going to achieve that goal? How do you measure that, and how does that happen?
Yeah, that's a good question. But the measuring thing is, it's tough to quite measure, but just, getting those before and after photos that come in, like we have a section on our website with success stories, seeing people from all over the world, males, females, all ages, all genders, like, it's just amazing. But the way to keep going and to keep reaching that mission is just content, just keep putting it out there, keep reaching more people. And it's definitely a huge mountain to climb, but we just really are focused on impacting as many people as we can. If we don't hit 1 million, that's okay, because we've impacted a lot of people from where we are right now.
So you used a great phrase there. It's a mountain to climb, and I'm planning in August to do this crazy thing called the Sierra High Route, and it's just elevation gain and descent and gain and descent. There's no trail. It's just a route. You have to be a good map and compass reader and GPS, and you're out there, and you got to figure it out. There's no trail. So I love that mountain to climb analogy there. It is. But what inspired you So I can relate to it. That's why I told you my quick little story. Yeah. I mean, I can totally understand, and it's directly applicable to what I'm going to be doing here. So I feel that. But what inspired you to want to climb that mountain? That's a big mountain. It's tougher than the mountain I'm trying to climb. Because well, because what I'm doing, it's just up to me. It's not easy. I have to spend 2 weeks out there, disconnected from society. There's no communication. I'm going solo. But no, it's just terrain, and I climb and do the work. And if I train hard, I'll make it. I'll do fine. You're going after a million people here, and you've got to affect them, keep them consistent like we talked about earlier. They've got to show up. They've got to connect with you. And you need to see them through this. You're the leader here by 2020-ish to get it done. So what was the inspiration?
It's just we have a story to tell. And we feel like the story that we're telling can impact a lot of people. And, I mean, just look at society today, especially in North America. 60-70% of people are overweight. This message needs to get out, and the message of that you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be in the gym all the time. You don't have to be cooking all your meals and spend all your life in the kitchen. Like, you can get sustainable results by just taking certain small actions. And I feel like in the fitness world, it's an all or nothing thing a lot of the time. And we feel like it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It can be just steady progress. And when people realize that and just commit to it, and change their some small daily behaviors and then turn into habits, that anybody can do this. So I feel like we'd be doing a disservice to people not trying to get this message out.
Now, you're a passionate guy. It's so obvious you really, really want to turn people's lives around and help them. It's charming as hell.
I've seen what it has done for me, and I've seen what it has done for people close to me. So I just feel like everybody can do it if they're truly committed to it. And they really get deep with that why. Just like, I keep going back to that, getting deep with the why. Why does it matter to you? And if you can't get deep with your why, like, do it for somebody else. Do it for your kids. Like, set that positive example. Once you figure out that why, it's just going to keep driving you.
The great thing about figuring out your why, too, is that every time you're in a tough moment and it's hurting and it's no fun and you wish you weren't doing it and you were somewhere else, once you figured that out, you can immediately connect to the why, and it gets you through every single time.
Absolutely. I mean, it's without a doubt, especially, now that I have my Kyla, my little daughter there, it just drives me even further. Like, I'm creating a legacy right now. Like, I'm setting an example, and it's so amazing seeing us do certain things, and she's just picking up on it. So, I just really want the next generation to have that exact same thing. And we need parents to be setting the proper example for their kids. And that's why we're trying to reach as many people as we can.
Most of how you reach those people on Live Lean is virtual. So what are the challenges for you in training and working and motivating people online versus being with them face to face? Is there a difference?
Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, accountability is a big thing. Like, when I was training people one-on-one, you can be beside them, you can motivate them, but deep down, if they don't want it, it doesn't matter if you're standing there with them or if you're online with them. If they don't want it, I truly believe you are in control. So you're in control of your destiny. If you don't want it, it's not going to happen, regardless if you have the world's best workout program, the most customized nutrition plan. If you don't have the motivation, you're not going to get it done. So what we try to do is, like, when we have people do our programs, they get a private Facebook group that they're joined with other like-minded people who are on the same journey as them. So we really try to be in there with them and just be motivating each other and just, showing people that they're not alone in this.
We talked about earlier the evolution of, filming and podcasting and moving up the curve to becoming good. You're really natural now in front of the camera. Again, sorry, it's how I feel. It's what I saw, and I'm just here to tell people what I think, and it's why I dug you up, because you're so fun and you've got so much positive energy and you're funny and you're really, really talented, and you're very natural in front of the camera, and this really helps you connect with people when you're doing this virtual stuff. You've got to be this way, because working out isn't all that comfortable, so you've got to be humorous while you're doing it at the same time. But what's the hardest part about filming yourself as often as you do?
Well, I mean, once again, I am super appreciative that you say that, because at times I don't feel comfortable in front of the camera. So I'm glad that it comes off that way, but I'll just be 100% real. Like, there are times when I'm not happy with certain videos or certain things, and you just got to keep consistency. reps.
Yeah, it's so true. I just can't emphasize how important that is. If it's not a habit like brushing your teeth, and speaking of cliches, there's a real big one for you. If it's not a habit like that, it doesn't hold on. It doesn't stick.
Absolutely. And so it's amazing the amount of people that feel like they don't want to go to the gym. And I just try to convince them, just go to the gym. Just put in 5 minutes just to get the blood flowing.
That's all you got
to
do.
And just, yeah, and then things just happen from there. So just get your foot in the door. It doesn't even have to be the gym. Like just at home. Like we have a lot of home workouts as well.
Walk out the front door.
Like there's a lot of things that people can be doing just – I think it's just to get that blood flowing going and just get those hormones going in your body just to make you feel happy. Like fitness and exercise can do amazing things for people if they let it happen, but they just have to let it happen.
Yeah, there's no myth about the release of endorphins when you're working out.
Yeah.
No myth to it. May not start that way. You know, it doesn't always start that way out of the gate, but once you get going, once you get consistency and you're starting to feel good, training or whatever it is you do will call you. You'll want to do it because you'll feel healthier, you'll sleep better, you'll walk easier, you'll breathe better, you'll move around better. Life is just healthier and better for you when you're moving around. So what's the hardest component then to living lean for the average person?
It's just the consistency. And it's mindset. So it's just about figuring, I'm a broken record, but it's figuring out why it matters. So if somebody is being told these short-term shortcuts, these gimmicks, they're going to try it. It's not going to work as quickly as they say they do. And they're going to think they fail. So they just give up. But if it's a mindset of this is a journey, this is a lifestyle, this isn't like a 6-week cleanse or a 42-day workout program to get shredded. This is a lifestyle. Like this is something that you're going to be doing for the rest of your life. Then that's just a whole different mindset shift. So I'm in this mindset shift right now where it's just a habit. Like I go to the gym. And I don't even have to think about it. So it's just like going back to that cliche about brushing your teeth. You don't think about brushing your teeth. You just do it. You don't think about waking up in the morning. You just do it. So it's just one of those things where it's a mindset shift. Once you have that mindset shift, you're going to make the decision to do it. You don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to have that healthy salad. You are making the decision to do it. It's the self-discipline. So I think that's the big thing with people in the beginning, that they don't realize that. They think, I have to do this. I have to do this. But if they change that mindset to, I get to do this, it's just going to take you on a different path.
Yeah, all of that is true, except the waking up in the morning. God willing, I'll continue. Yeah, that's the only thing I can't control. If you had to pick one kind of workout that's your favorite kind to recommend to people, what would it be and what would you dread? So what would it be? Hey, people do this kind of workout if you can't do anything else. And what would be one you dread? Both are good. Yeah. They're both good for you. Dreading doesn't mean it's bad and you shouldn't do it. It just means it's really good for me and I don't like that kind of workout.
You know, it comes down to, in my opinion, resistance training is king. So we need to get stronger, build lean muscle, increases your metabolism, burns more calories throughout the day. You know, it keeps you younger, keeps you flexible. I think resistance training is the thing that a lot of people who are new to fitness, they just walk into the gym or they just go to the treadmill because that's what they're comfortable with. But to get outside of your comfort zone, to start a resistance training program, it's going to feel weird in the beginning because you're going to feel awkward. Your form may not be on point. You may not know how much weight to lift. But, you know, you just keep putting in those reps. Like I dreaded the first time I went to the gym. I went to my first gym in college and I went right to the treadmill and that lasted a week. And then I never showed up again at that gym because I was so awkward, didn't want to lift the weight, didn't know what I was doing. I didn't realize the importance of being on a program and following a program. So if I had to pick one type of workout, it's resistance training. So that just means strength training. Dumbbells, barbells, whatever it may be. And if there's something that people dread that they should be doing, I would say it's HIIT training. So, you know, sprinting on a treadmill. And when I say sprinting on a treadmill, depending on your fitness level, that could just mean that you walk on an incline. So sprinting is all relative to your fitness level. If it gets your heart rate up and it's walking on an incline, that's enough to be a high interval training workout for somebody. Lower the incline, let your heart rate come back down and repeat. But that's the one that a lot of people dread doing. But a combination of resistance training and HIIT training is kind of the philosophies of the Live Lean way.
Are there any fitness trends out there that you think need to go away?
3-4 hour workouts. I know it's not really a trend, but if people think that that's what requires you to get the body that you want, people just don't respect the recovery process and that you need to get, like sleep, nutrition to properly recover your body. It's super important. But no, I'm not going to like hate on any type of fitness out there. I think just like we said, movement is just what everybody needs, regardless of what that is. But if I was to take, you know, a 20-year-old and say who is beginning their journey, like I would have them following a resistance training program, throw in some HIIT, and then allow them to recover and teach them how to eat properly and set them on their way.
You know, I'm also curious to know if there's any myths you wish would go away.
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, I'm at fault for some of this. I've recently been going through some of my older content because I've been producing content for 7 years, and going through some of my older content, some of the things that I've said along the way, I don't quite agree with now. You know, myths of there's a carb monster that comes out after 7 p.m., so don't eat carbs after 7 p.m. Just little things like that, that, you know, I've been at fault for saying in the beginning. It's because that's what I did. And, but it's not to say that if you eat carbs after 7 o'clock, you're going to gain fat. It's not to say, you know, yeah, there's a lot of them out there, but you know, at the end of the day, I'm a big believer in eating similar to a paleo way of eating, you know, meat, nuts, seeds, plants, vegetables, fruits. And then, you know, with carbohydrates, make sure that you're active enough and you're doing your body good.
Yeah, I was personally never a believer from the first time I heard it that, oh, don't eat this after seven. Don't eat after do these things at this time of day. The bottom line is calories, calorie expenditure and calorie intake will take care of themselves. If you're just simply taking in more calories than you're burning, going to have probably some weight issues. And if you're burning enough calories, you're not going to have a weight issue. So it's pretty straight ahead. I agree with you. And that's an old myth too. That one's been around a long time. I don't know if people still buy into it. Probably they do.
I think they do because we get questions about it all the time. And, you know, it's, you know, as much as you can talk about it, as many videos as you can do on it, there's still going to be a lot of stuff out there that I don't think we'll ever overcome it.
The other thing you said that's really important too that should not be overlooked is the value of recovery, because if you're training, working out, you know, correctly or properly, and then the amount of recovery you get is equal in terms of importance to the workout itself, because without proper rest, the workout won't cause the growth, it won't cause the calorie burn, it can cause burnout. Rest, I used to say, actually, at one time, was even more important than the workout itself, assuming you were doing consistent workouts and working out hard, that the rest becomes the most critical part of a routine so your body can recover and you don't burn out. You mentioned this, but I'm just looking for further validation on that point from you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had friends who have gone to the extremes in fitness. So a lot of fitness competitors who get up on stage and do their thing, and the thing that they have to do to put their body through is very extreme, and it's calorie deprivation. It's overdoing it on cardio. They look great for their show when they get up on stage, but then, you know, 4 to 6 weeks after that, their body just does not respond very well to when they start adding more calories in, and it plays, you know, it's sad to see what's going on with their metabolism and how their body is reacting afterwards. So definitely without the proper recovery and overdoing it, being excessive in anything is not going to be good for your body in the long term.
What do you regret since becoming an entrepreneur and building your business? What's one big lesson there that you could pass on?
It's a great question. You know, like, I don't want to sound cliche, but, you know, I don't like thinking of regrets. But if I had to say one thing, I think it's, for me, I think business is a lot to do with the connections that you make with other business people. So as an online fitness company, you can be a little bit insular in the beginning, meaning your head is buried so much into the work and producing the content that you're maybe not connecting enough with other business owners, with other people in the fitness space. And collaborating is one of the best ways that you can really grow your business And so I think we could do better at that. But it's on the same sense, it's how I met my wife, is through a collaboration. So, you know, I've been pretty good at it. But I think to say one regret, I think in the beginning or in the earlier stages that we could have grown a little bit more than what we did is if we did more business development with other businesses.
Collaborations,
yeah. Like what we're doing right now, you know, like reaching out to other people in the industry, you know, sharing stories back and forth, like sharing your audience, growing your audience, that sort of thing.
What's the next thing for you to do? I know you're going to have your 2020 endeavor, but what else?
Yeah, no, we're just, you know, things are going really well right now. I don't want to be stagnant. I always want to be finding the next big thing, the next social media, like where is the attention going? I think attention is the big thing. You know, YouTube has been going well for the last, you know, 5-6 years, but is it going to be around forever? So we're always trying to think of, you know, what's the next big thing? Where should we be focusing our attention on? But you know what? At the end of the day, it's just keep producing content, keep reaching people, keep going deep. So not wide. So when I say wide, you know, trying to reach too many people, I'd rather go deep with a certain amount of people to, you know, just really build up that community with people and get really deeper with them. So it's, you know, doing the same things that we're doing, but just kind of doing it on a bigger stage.
You're going to be executing really, really well, I know. All right, let me wind up with this question here. You ready? All right,
yeah.
Buckle up. I want to ask you, I like to ask a lot of people this, what I learned from that experience. So what happened to you? What drama, what major experience, whatever it might be, that you went through that was itself unbelievably educational in a very deep way, and the takeaway from that experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the thing that came to my mind when you asked that would be going back to 2012 when I went through my divorce. So that's been one of the biggest tough times in my life. You know, I grew up with my parents still being together today. None of my friends' parents went through a divorce. And here I am, you know, at 30 years old. I was only married for, I think it was 18 months or so. And my wife said, it's not working. I'm leaving you. And my wife worked a really good job. I was just in the beginning of this fitness venture. So I wasn't pulling in a lot of money at the time. We just built a brand new house at the time. We had a dog together. And all of a sudden, my world came crashing down. And so that was the biggest struggle that I had in my life, but it's also been the biggest opportunity for me, because I wouldn't be where I am right now if I was still married in that situation. I'd still be living on the East Coast of Canada in a small area, probably wouldn't have grown the business to what I am today, because I was on my own. So there was no turning back. There was no burning that bridge like we talked about. It was all on me. So I think if I didn't have that driving motivation and that being in control, that who knows where I'd be right now. But I don't think I'd be doing the same thing that I'm doing right now. So I would have to say that that was the big defining change in my life, where I turned a negative into a positive, and it's brought me to where I am right now.
Major negative. So many people, you know, get divorced. And I did not know how profoundly depressing people feel when they do it. When you haven't been married or someone hasn't been married, you think of it as just an intellectual process. Well, it didn't work out. You know, I loved my wife. We grew apart, and now we're getting divorced. And it's often not like that. It's more often a very, very devastating and depressing experience from what I've been told. Is that sounds like what you're telling me?
Oh, absolutely. Just, and like I said, it was just not in my mind at that time. It was not a possibility to get divorced. It was like, you get married, you stay married, and that's it. And when that bombshell was dropped on me, I'm like, oh wow, what do I do now? Like, I felt like I let my parents down. I felt like I let my family down, my friends down. I was, you know, an outsider at that point because all my friends were married. I wasn't married. And yeah, it was a really tough thing, but it was probably one of the best things that could happen.
So the message is, no matter how depressing, no matter how low, no matter how much of a failure you may feel at any given moment, whatever the reason may be, fight your way out of it because you can.
Yeah, there's an opportunity on the other side of that wall.
All right.
Just keep going for it.
All right, great, great story. One last thing here. You're the author of some books here. Tell us about the books.
Yeah, so I wrote my first book back in 2012 called Awaken the Abs Within. So that was a book that basically I took my story, my journey on how I created the body that I have. And so I take them through nutrition, fitness, and motivation. And then in 2015, I came out with another book called Think and Live Lean. So it kind of goes back to, it's a saying to think and grow rich from Napoleon Hill. I took all of the details out of that book and how I applied that to my mindset and my journey. And that's more of a motivational book of how I went through that divorce and how I created the business that I have today using those theories and those steps in that book. So it's been quite a journey writing two books, to say the very least. But it was the Think and Live Lean book was a missing piece in our business. Like, we had workout programs, nutrition programs, but we never had anything from a mindset standpoint to teach people how to acquire the live lean mindset. So that book will help people with that. And I always tell people, that's your starting point. If you want to start somewhere, start with getting your mindset on point, and then you can get the nutrition and the workouts. Just go to Google Live Lean TV, and our YouTube channel will pop up, Instagram, our website, and you can connect with us there.
Brad Guthrow, man, celebrity trainer, star trainer, man of huge, high energy, a lot of fun, always smiling, having a good time. Check him out. He's really worth it. Put my name behind it. And Brad, thanks again so much for taking the time to come by today and share your story with us. Everyone's going to love it.
All right, Craig, appreciate your time.